When I started looking through this psalm, I realized it's a unique psalm. There's a lot going on in this psalm, you know. And I want to do an introduction to it before we get into it a little bit. So, in Psalm 119, now it's going to slow react on me. The scope of this psalm is to magnify the word of God. Let me make sure I didn't skip over one. Okay. The entire scope of this song is to magnify the word of God. And as we go through this, you're going to see the author was not named. I have my own belief that I think it was David, but you know that there's conflict with who it might have been. But it seems like David, just the way he typically does his writings. Can you guys all see that? So it's believed to be a gathering together of years of writings and made into an alphabetical acrostic. If you look at the way this is set up, and we'll get into that a little bit, how it's the Hebrew alphabet. And I think the next slide talks about that. But it was set up as an alphabetical acrostic. And like I said, the slide before that, or here, it's years of writings and made up of an alphabet, of the alphabet, right? So these years of writing, as the psalmist was going through the Word of God, he would write down basically their prayers. So the structure and composition of this psalm, the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters in it. There are 22 sections for each letter of the alphabet, each consisting of 8 verses for a total of 176 verses. Does that make sense to you? If you look down, you look at your Bible, do you see the Hebrew, what they consider letters? It says Aleph at the top. Beth, Gimel, Daleth, right? As you go on, there's 22 of them, and then each 8 verses started with that alphabetical letter. So this was done as an acrostic, right? It's considered an octonary, octo meaning 8, right? Because of the structure of the 8 successive verses with the initial letter of each. 8 verses beginning with the same letter. So if you look at Psalm 119, we're going to go through the first 8 verses tonight. It starts with the letter Aleph. We cannot see that because it's written in Hebrew. We have it translated into English. So we do not experience the alphabetical order because of it being translated into English. So we don't experience it as they had it set up. I also read through commentaries as I was going that even the verses, not just the first letter was in alphabetical order, but every verse was in alphabetical alignment. And the purpose of that was possibly made to teach young the alphabet and the Word of God at the same time, okay, and how to read. So it's a very different psalm in regards to the rest of them. So singing songs, we know what it's like to sing songs to help us memorize, right? So this is a psalm, which is a song, right? It helped them to memorize not only the facts about God's word, helped them to memorize the letters of the alphabet. So that's why it could have been geared towards young, and that's one of the easiest ways to accomplish it is through song. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the New England Primer. America had a textbook. It was used in the early days of America. It was called the New England Primer. I actually have a replica right here. This is a 1777 replica of the New England Primer. I just wanted to bring this out because this is what, back in the day, in the 1700s, the Word of God was important. Teaching the Word of God to the kids was important. So I want to show you a picture from it. This is what it would look like inside, right? And then I'll just go through a couple of the letters. And then you can see what a difference they were taught back then compared to what they are now. So if we look at letter A, okay, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. B, heaven to find, the Bible mind. That's not necessarily an alphabetical order up there. I noticed that in that picture. Christ crucified, 4 sinners died. That's for C. What a way to learn your alphabet, right? D, the deluge drowned the earth around. So they're learning about the flood and everything. Look at if you look at F here, the idle fool is whipped at school. That's a good one. So, it's twice as long as any other psalm, and it's also considered to excel them all. So, being it's 176 verses, it's many of the Psalms are only, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 verses. This is 176 because they had the 22 letters of the alphabet, 8 verses in each, that total is 176. So only 4 verses are not spoken directly to God as a prayer. And that would be verses 1 through 3 and 115. I'm going to read 1 through 3 now because this is, it kind of lays the groundwork for the entire book of Psalms. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. After that, he goes on, thou hast commanded us. He immediately changes his perspective to speaking directly to God in verse 4. And then every verse except for Psalm 115, or verse 115, he proclaims, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Other than those 4 verses, every single verse is a prayer to God. So the verses, I think I mentioned this already, they seem to be a collection of prayers written down as experience while reading and meditating on the Word of God. So as the psalmist was doing his devotions, I guess you call it, he's rejoicing in the Word of God and he's writing down, you know, as he's experiencing he's writing down prayers, you know, God, you know, like right here in verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. He's writing this down. And it's believed that there was a collection of these writings, and they were all put together into this alphabetical acrostic. So that's a great way to do your devotions. You're communicating with God. You know, so as you experience, you're meditating on the Word of God. It's a lot like the Proverbs in structure. It's just quick verses of truth, right? Not necessarily related to any other verses. So if you read one verse, like I'll just look down at verse 33 real quick. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. And then the next verse is kind of unrelated. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And then, you know, they're all just pearls of wisdom. Each verse is a pearl of wisdom that God has given to us to learn to, you know, especially this verse is really to magnify God's word. So the psalmist, unlike us, we have multiple books of the Bible, 66 books of the Bible. He only had probably 5. And as he's going through this, he's finding incredible wisdom that he's writing down, incredible prayers. He's really in tune with God and his word as you read through this. When I was preparing this, I read through this a bunch of times, right? And I had an audio I was listening to. I probably listened to that, I don't know how many times, probably like 7,500 times in the last month, just listening to it. This is an amazing psalm. I recommend everyone to be reading it. Is anyone familiar with this or read through it? It's amazing if you do. It's something that we should know well. So like I said, he had probably just the 5 books of Moses to gain this information out of, or this praise to God mainly. Psalm 1 and 119 are similar to, Psalm 1 and 19 are similar to 119. And then I realized if you put the 1 and the 19 together, it comes up with 119. Now, I just came up with that on my own. I don't know if it means anything, but. So let's just look at that real quick, just a little bit. So the pastor just went through this psalm. Blessed is the man, right? Right away it starts with blessed, just like verse 1 and verse 2 of 119. Blessed is the man, right, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's what this whole book is about. This whole 119 is all about delighting in his law and in the law of meditating day and night. What does it mean to meditate? You know, you're constantly thinking about it. You're going through it. I know when I have devotions in the morning, and then I think about what I just read for the, you know, that morning while I'm at work or whatever, I'm thinking about it, meditating on it. So Psalm 119, or excuse me, 19, verses 7 through 11. It's the same type of, you know, exaltation of God's word, right? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And this is one of my favorite verses here. Moreover, in this Psalm 19, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, right? Warned of what? The direction that we're headed in. And in keeping of them, meaning all these, right? The commandment of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord. In keeping of them, there is great reward to the believer and unbeliever for that matter. There's a bunch of well-known verses in this psalm. We'll just go through a few of these. So we have Psalm 119:9. You guys will probably recognize these, right? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now look, he's talking to God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. He's speaking to him as he's, and he probably came across something as he was reading in the word of God. He wrote it down, which is a great practice for us to do. 119:11, is thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Okay, these are common verses that we use for, you know, teaching our kids God's word. Now, what does hide mean, right? How do we hide God's word in our heart? You guys know? We memorize, right? You guys memorize the word of God. Okay, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. 89, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And then 119:105, very famous one that we well know, thy word as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then the 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And then thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. That's the beauty of God's word. His word is so pure for us, and it's it washes us and cleanses us from impurities. Okay, so there's words that are used multiple times in this psalm. As you go through it, you'll hear these words a lot. So they include diligently, meditate, hope, keep, teach, love, delight, seek, afflicted, fear, merciful, all used by the psalmist to express his heart to God as he's going through the word of God. Okay, so many times he says, I'm afflicted, you know, I'm afflicted much, but your word delivers me from that, right? Or he says, teach me thy word, right? I love thy word. I delight in your word. That's how he expressed himself through these words. These are used multiple times. In this psalm, there are eight basic words used to describe the scriptures. That's another thing. If you notice in Psalm 19, the different words, the commandments, statutes, testimonies, those words are used in here too. So there's eight basic words used to describe the scriptures, and we'll just look at them real quick. And we're talking about mainly the Hebrew word, right? It's used 25 times. Law, so it's a parent verb. It means teach or direct. Therefore, coming from God, it means both law and revelation. It can be used of a single command or of a whole law, body of law. Word, this word and dabar. Word is used for another one. You're going to see it's going to be the eighth one I have on here. Dabar, used 24 times. The idea is of the spoken word, God's revealed word to man, proceeding from his mouth and revealed by him to us. Judgments, mispatem. I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right, but probably not. Used 23 times, right? And then if you look at these, right, the 25 times, 23 times, 24 times, there's 176 verses, so it's constantly an exaltation of God's word. Okay, so it's from Shaphat to judge or determine or regulate, order, and discern, because they judge concerning our words and works, show the rules by which they should be regulated, and cause us to discern what is right and wrong and decide accordingly. So rather than just saying word every time, he's using these specifically, and I think the Hebrew is much more in-depth than ours. Like if we think of, we use the word love for multiple Hebrew words that mean different things, right? They're more expressive. And the same thing with these words that mean, they put in judgment for their, you could probably put word in that place too as an English translation, but they tried to the translators tried to use more. All right, so testimonies, the edot, okay, used 23 times. This word is related to the word for witness. To obey his testimony signifies loyalty to the terms of the covenant made between the Lord and Israel. Commandments, miswa, used 22 times. This word emphasizes the straight authority of what is said, the right to give orders. Statutes, hukwam, used 21 times. The noun is derived from the root verb engrave or inscribe, okay? So it means God has inscribed or engraved his word. If you think about it, he engraved his word on the tablets, right? The Ten Commandments. So it's written word of God and the authority of his written word, declaring his authority and power of giving us laws. Precepts, piquidum, used 21 times. This is the word drawn from the sphere of an officer or overseer. A man who is responsible to look closely into a situation and take action. So the word points to a particular instructions of the Lord as a one who cares about detail. All right, here's the second use of word, imrah. It's used 19 times. It is similar to meaning to dabar, which was the first one, yet a different term. The word may denote anything God has spoken, commanded, or promised. All right, so there's other words used, right, to denote his directing of our lives through his word, and that's the word way and paths. That's all used very often in this. You have directed, I think right in here, the first verse, right, blessed are the undefiled in the way, right? And the word way is our manner of life, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, so I won't get into that now. So the psalm shows our need for constant communion with God as we interact with his word. Feeding on the word of God is critical. It's critical for us as believers. This is something I heard a while ago, and it made a lot of sense to me. Eating food satisfies us. Usually when we eat, we're satisfied, right? But when we're eating from the word of God, it causes us to hunger more. Therefore, we need to feed more from it. If you ever notice, I'm sure we've all done it. I'll speak for myself. You get away from God's word for a little bit. Let's say you let it go for a while. I think you get spiritually sick, right? And then you're not hungry. You don't want to eat from his word. But when we do feed from his word more often, it makes us more hungry. And it makes us healthier for drawing closer to him and closer to His word. And like this psalmist, his example that he gave in here, how he was interacting with God's word as he read through it, and he wrote down these pearls of wisdom here for us to enjoy and partake in. So this is the title of my message for tonight. I'm starting the message now. Blessed and undefiled in the way, right? If we read through I'm going to read through the first eight verses because I'm going to quickly go through the first eight verses and just try to open up what God has to say here. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Right here, he begins his prayer to God. He's now talking to God. For basically the rest of the book, except for one verse. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. So these verses, the first three verses, right? They sum up the entire 119th psalm. Okay, blessed are the undefiled in a way. Blessed are they to keep his testimonies and seek him with all heart. They will be undefiled, right? So what does blessed mean? Oh, I went back too far. Blessed is We're happy, content, and satisfied when we're in God's Word. God's Word brings satisfaction to us and, you know, and blessing. You know, if you look at those two verses, it's a double blessing, verse 1 and verse 2. He said, blessed is a man and blessed are they. Way, what does it mean, way, right? We are blessed in the way. Well, it's our manner or course of life. That's the life that we're living, the road that we're traveling on. That is, you know, we're going to be blessed in the way if we keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. So what does it mean to walk, right? It's to live and act or behave, to pursue a particular course of life. It's very similar to the ways, right? How we walk. We're going to, the means we walk and the way we're headed in is determines everything in our life. So we have to make sure we're in God's Word, following him, following his Word. So what does it mean to be undefiled, right? He says those that are who walk in his ways will be undefiled. So we're going to be not defiled. We're not going to be polluted. We're not going to be depraved, not impure, not defective or void, right? So I have here something I wrote out. Happy is a man whose course of life is such that his behavior is not impure or depraved because he has chosen God's Word as his guide. Okay, that's what we all need to choose, God's Word as our guide. How does man get into a defiling position, right? If we look at how is man defiled? By sin, self, Satan, who uses the world, right? Because we what, and he causes us to walk in our own ways. If we think about some verses, right? Like, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let's see this. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, this is the critical part here, right? For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. How do we sow to our spirit? Through God's Word, through being in prayer, through, you know, like this psalmist did here. He gave us an example. As he was going through the psalm, he's writing down, he's communicating with God, he's praying to God as he's going through it. So, all men naturally aspire after happiness or blessedness, but instead of searching for it in the right path, they prefer wandering up and down through endless bypass to their ruin and destruction. And here's another verse. I know the pastor brought this up a few times through Proverbs, right? There's a way which seems right. Man thinks this is right. I'm doing right. But there's a way which seems right unto a man, but this is a serious, if you think about this, there's a way which seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Separation from God for eternity. If we are not obviously born again, if we're not following God and his word, the Bible says we do keep ourselves unspotted from the world. James 1:27. Right? How do we do that? Same thing. We be in God's word. We're in prayer. Don't allow yourself to get sidetracked, which is the devil's constantly doing. The devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. These young guys here, you know, be careful. Be careful what you allow before you. Be careful what you know, keep yourself unspotted from the world, like it says. Sow to the spirit, not to the flesh. Sowing to the flesh comes extremely natural, but you have to refrain and restrain from that. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sin is so serious in God's eyes. We have gone astray, right? We have turned our own way. It's so serious that the Lord Jesus Christ took upon him the iniquity of us all his effort to take away our sin. So being in the Word of God brings a satisfaction to life. As we walk on our way, we are blessed in the way because we walk in the law of the Lord, therefore keeping us undefiled. That's how we stay undefiled. Right? Be in the Word of God. It brings satisfaction to your life. God will bless that because we walk in his ways. Right? So go down to verse 4, right? Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. The psalmist prayer and interaction with God starts here. I've mentioned that except for in verses 115 is, right? So I'm going to give an example of what he probably read. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. We'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16, and I'm going to give an example of what the psalmist probably was reading when he wrote that down. I don't know that for sure, but Deuteronomy, if you haven't been through it often, it's constantly is giving examples of, you know, follow me, follow my ways, you know, don't turn your back, don't turn away. So we're going to look at Deuteronomy 11, 16 through 32. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in a land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put a blessing upon Mount Gerizim and a curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal, besides the plain of Morah? For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Now, I can imagine a psalmist, as he's reading through this, that he, as he reads through that and he sees how serious God is with us following his word, that he writes that down. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. So let's go back to Psalm 119. Verses 5 and 6, right? It says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." The psalmist here, right? The psalmist is praying for the ability to obey the word of God. If you look there in verse 5. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." If you think of the word, when he uses the word "oh," it's like a solemn cry out. Oh, that, you know, he's like longing for it. He's longing that God would teach him to obey the word of God, to show him and help him to do it. We see that the psalmist, he feels as though he has not yet gotten to be like the happy, blessed one that he described in the first couple of verses, right? But he wants to be. He is not yet like Paul described in Acts 7, right? Remember what Paul said? He said, "The things I want to do, I can't do. The things I can't do, there are the things that I do. This is what the psalmist is. He's wrestling with this now. He's saying, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And he says, then I shall not be ashamed. So why would the psalmist think he would be ashamed? What brings shame into our lives, right? So sin is going to bring shame into our lives. So, and when sin is gone, the reason for being ashamed is also gone. The psalmist believes in a direct correlation of diligently seeking God's word and the undefilement or controlling of sin in his life. So here's a terminology I heard years ago. You guys might have heard this before. The Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible, okay? That's a good one. So if we're not in God's word, we should be in it daily, right? It's going to keep it. Sin will keep us from the Bible, right? The Bible will keep us from sin if we are in it. All right, verses 7 and 8. It says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. So the psalmist in verse 7, he breaks out in praise to God with an upright heart, knowing the incredible blessing that would be given to him as he seeks after, meditates, and is consumed by the word of God. He's laying that out there for us. Okay, so what does it mean to keep? If you look at this one really got me good. So if we're going to keep the word of God, is to hold or restrain from departure. Look at that one. Keep is restrain us from departing from God and his word. Okay? Restrain from departure, guard and preserve. That's what he meant when he said to keep I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. So God tells us in his word that he will never leave us nor forsake us, right? If there is a separation of fellowship in our lives with God, it is because we have forsaken him. God doesn't turn from us. We turn our backs from him. So be diligent and deliberate. Being in the word of God is more important than our physical food. Jesus Christ himself said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 5:29, it says, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. If we must press forward. The whole armor of God is for offensive protection, right? It's not for defense. It doesn't talk about anything on the back. We're not turning our back and retreating. We have an offensive weapon. So the armor of God is for moving forward. So Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we do not turn our backs. We're always moving forward, led by his word. I'm going to close with this poem that I ran across looking up different stuff. It was written in the 1800s by James M. Gray. Anyway, this is a poem about the Bible. And this is I'm going to close with this. Where childhood needs a standard, or youth a beacon light, where sorrow sighs for comfort, or weakness longs for might, bring forth the Holy Bible. The Bible there stands, resolving all life's problems and meeting its demands. Though sophistry conceal it, the Bible there stands. Though Pharisees profane it, its influence expands. It fills the world with fragrance whose sweetness never cloys. It lifts our eyes to heaven. It heightens human joys. Despised and torn in pieces by infidels decried, with thunderbolts of hatred, the haughty cynic's pride. All these have railed against it in this and other lands, yet dynasties have fallen, and still the Bible stands. To paradise a highway, the Bible there it stands, its promises unfailing, nor grievous its commands. It points man to his Savior, the lover of his soul. Salvation is his watchword, eternity its goal. So that sums up God's word. The goal is eternity. We're all living forever. Not here though. Somewhere. Right? So being in the word of God is critical for us as believers. We must be in God's word. So that's how I'm going to close. I'm just going to pray.